Over the last decade, extreme weather events have cost the United States approximately $1.4 trillion in damages and nearly 200 separate billion-dollar disasters impacting the nation. Globally, it's much more. Clearly, extreme weather events are on the rise, and that's what we're here to talk about today. Welcome to the Future of Risk, presented by Zurich North America. We explore the changing risk and resilience landscape and share insights on the challenges that face businesses to help you meet tomorrow prepared. With this episode, we're focused on the role of senior leaders and boards who are responsible for the long-term strategic planning that delivers shareholder value. As the old saying goes, it's only when the tide goes out do you see who's been swimming with our trunks. The right mitigation strategies can drive a smart capital allocation and ultimately build a competitive advantage, allowing businesses to thrive while unprepared competitors are distracted with the recovery and possible reputation damage. I'm Aruran Sivasubramaniam, head of Zurich Resilient Solutions in North America. And today, I'm speaking with Adam Aronson, founder and CEO of Airocite. Adam, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me and looking forward to the discussion.
So let's jump right in. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a brief description of Airocite so the audience can understand?
That's great. I actually started in a completely different industry in the 1990s. I was in the finance world and worked at a big investment bank and then started and ran a couple of hedge funds. And then in the early 2000s, I founded our company, Airocite. The main focus of our business is working in multiple industries that are very safety-centric and using a whole services platform that we built over 20 years called Remote Video Coaching, which essentially is putting cameras in the workplace focused on the work zones that can cause very, very severe adverse events that in the insurance world can turn into insurance claims. And so in the food manufacturing world, we're putting fixed point cameras in, you know, high risk work areas with the intent of reducing the risk of food recalls. In hospitals, we primarily get cameras placed inside operating rooms to help mitigate the risk of wrong-sided surgeries and also surgical site infections. And then more recently, in the last 7 or 8 years, we've gotten very heavily focused on the construction industry. And this is where we've done most of the work with Zurich, a great partnership, really working in multiple different types of construction, from civil to infrastructure to building construction, to prevent and mitigate the risk of catastrophic injuries and fatalities. And so to do this, we essentially have a mix of, we call it like a hybrid AI and human in the loop solution, where in some cases we only use the humans and sometimes we mainly use AI, but in a lot of cases it's hybrid, where the humans are making sure that the AI is working accurately. But the end product is always the same. And what it is in the morning, providing a small number of coaching clips that are used to send to frontline supervisors to help coach their team members to be safer and to reduce the risk of adverse events, whether, again, it's food safety or patient safety or worker safety. It's all basically a risk management approach. And we've had really fantastic results with partners in multiple industries, and more recently with this great partnership that we have with Zurich in significantly mitigating risk. And so really happy to be included on a podcast like this. And I guess the final thing to sort of describe how we do our work is all of the human monitoring that we do is in centers in other countries, very far away. And we have a lot of considerations on continuity planning and redundancy that I think will be a big part of today's discussion.
That's very interesting. Thanks, Adam. I think, you know, from my point of view, when I look at your business, one of the things that really sticks out and makes a difference to customers particularly is how you don't just rely on artificial intelligence, for example, you actually augment it with the human interaction as well, right? So you get the best of both worlds and really supercharged our human capabilities. At the same time, you know, you mentioned about the behavioral elements, right? So you really instill positive reinforcement behavior, right? So what's actually working really well as opposed to just pointing out things that aren't quite going as we might like, right? So I really like that approach that you guys take there. Can we maybe talk a little bit about how extreme weather might impact your business?
Yeah, definitely. We have had multiple major extreme weather challenges in the 20 plus years that we've been in business, dating back to kind of the first extreme weather event that we faced was in Huntsville, Alabama, where at the time we had the majority of our operations and seemed like a perfectly safe place to be, minus, you know, tornadoes, which is a different type of extreme weather issue than the one we wound up facing. But in this case, there was a huge ice storm. It was 2014. And at the time, we were a smaller company and didn't have all of the redundancies that we really could have or maybe should have had at the time in place. And essentially, our servers, back then, you were using more servers that were physical in your own offices and less cloud-based servers. And we didn't have a backup set of servers in our other office, which was in Westchester County, New York. And so we gutted through a couple of rough weeks, wound up, kind of getting duplicate servers and then, you know, working with the local ISP provider and digging a ditch so that we weren't, you know, sort of cut off at the end of a road. We took a lot of action, took on a bit of expense to do that. And that was kind of our first wake-up call. You know, that was when the tide went out and our trunks were down. It was a rough start, but we survived it. And then we were just at that point in time beginning to open our first partnership with a third-party BPO firm in India. And it was in a place called Vizag, which is on the east coast of India, beautiful place. And within just a few years of having that center open, they experienced a severe typhoon. And it was, again, it was a big wake-up call. These guys were incredibly scrappy. They had generators, and they sort of, again, gutted through it. We didn't actually have a breach in any of our ability to provide services, but it immediately prompted us to find another provider, not in a direct, like in the exact same region. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the only company we could find was also on the east coast of India in a place called Chennai. Well, again, a wonderful city, but very prone to flooding. And so we had a flood incident there, and they didn't get through it so well, but at least we had the Vizag operation. We still had our U.S. operation. So we were kind of all of a sudden in a better position as it relates to extreme weather events. And then when the one flooding event was so severe in Chennai, we decided to open a third center through a partnership in another town, which was a little more inland, called Pondicherry. And all of a sudden, we felt a little safer, a little better. And then for a host of reasons, more business reasons, and sort of wanting to be less dependent on third-party firms, we then about 2.5 years ago opened our own company in Hyderabad, which is in the center of India and not near any of the coast. And there's still extreme weather risk, more on the flooding perspective, but really not the same kind of typhoon risk. And so what we did with almost a decade plus of rough experiences, we just made sure that the floors that we work on are higher than the ground. So we're on the third and fourth floors versus, you know, right at ground level. Those are just sort of on the operational side, some extreme weather experiences we've been through. I'll kind of put it back to you, Aru, to kind of have any follow-up questions on that. And then we could potentially talk about some other extreme weather challenges that we have on the hardware side, the video camera side.
It's very interesting hearing you say that. Often when people hear about extreme weather, they tend to think it's a long-term issue, 50 years down the road. But in reality, I mean, even this morning, right, wake up, read the news. What's the first thing? Wildfires in California. We know about heat waves. There's, you know, a couple of weeks ago, there were floods. Obviously, we all remember the extreme cold wave in Texas few years ago as well. And so it's here today. I mean, it's not a future risk. It's actually something we deal with already. And what you highlight yourself is you're experiencing it all the time, or you have experienced it just in the last 20 years, several instances. And as a result, you have made specific tactical decisions within your organization and how you allocate your capital.
100%. Yeah. And in our case, you know, all those events that I just described happened within, I think it was a 36-month window. Like, it comes in, you know, bunches sometimes, and sometimes you can go 10 years without it. So yeah. To your point, it is here now. You just have no idea whether it's going to be, you know, that horrible situation with the California fires where LA, like friends of mine lost houses, or, you know, some of the extreme weather stuff going on as we speak, whether it's the Canadian wildfires or the new ones out in California. So, I think the days of saying it's a 1-in-100-year event, you know, the Chennai flood, and like 2 years later, they had another flood. So, yeah. You know, it seems like it's like the 1-in-3-year, 1-in-5-year event is more the norm.
We don't mean to make light of it, obviously, but, you know, as an actuary, you know, I'm very familiar with a lot of these return periods. And when I hear them, I always smile because, you know, you understand how much of an estimate it is. And then reality obviously says something very different, right? I'm curious. So we obviously talked about some of where your offices are and how you could position it, you know, very, very logical stuff you're doing, going from the coast to inlands and to higher up in the floors. Could you talk a little bit about, you mentioned the hardware part as well. So that'd be interesting for us to hear, too.
Yeah, definitely. So a couple of years ago, we began a journey to create for the construction industry, especially much lower cost services outside of the New York area. So when we got into construction, just as a point of reference, the cost of insurance is extremely high in New York for a host of reasons. It's exponentially more expensive than it is outside of New York. So while we were getting really great at New York, we also had some wonderful experiences and really great results in projects all around the country. But we needed a lower price point. And in doing that, we had to come up with camera systems that were a lot more like the AirPods that you buy that just work the second you open them and you hit a button and you put them in your ear and it just works, versus complex systems that would need more programming, more troubleshooting when they go offline. And what we wound up doing is using kind of an old school technology called body cameras, like law enforcement body cameras, used as job site cameras. And these job site cameras are very small. They go in enclosures. They're powered by a battery. And they need to withstand the elements, whether it's very cold or very hot, rain, wind. They have to be very, very durable. And so we had really fine-tuned this in the New York area and used those more hardened systems around the country. But in order to get a kind of more of a plug-and-play self-service hardware package for the non-New York market, we needed to come up with a situation where if a camera stopped working, it could literally just be swapped out. Didn't need to be programmed. They already had a spare, and it's a five-minute process versus sending a field tech and a laptop and talking to somebody remotely to try to troubleshoot a video recorder-based system, which is how we do it in New York. So to take this and fast forward it, we knew immediately that these little cameras had a really smart technology in them that would turn them off if they got too hot, which is a great thing because it could cause an even bigger problem if there was any kind of, a malfunction and overheating. And so they're very good at turning themselves off, which isn't so good for a business that dependent on looking at the videos to try to mitigate, adverse events and claims. And so in the beginning, and this is sort of the wonderful thing about, going into new markets and R&D, you can fill the gap with people. We said it's a self-service program, but when things went wrong, we would fill the gap and send somebody. We wouldn't charge them for it. We knew we needed to figure this out over really the summer months. You only have a few months to figure this out. And last year, last summer, we did a bunch of initial research. And this summer, we really dug in. The point is, it's really a game of understanding the conditions or realities of them, not just hoping for cool weather and really biting the bullet and just getting to work on the R&D side. So extreme weather has pushed our limits, especially as we try to meet the needs of you guys as partners and your insureds behind you.
That's very interesting. Connecting back what you said even a bit earlier on in terms of return periods, 1 in 100 year, whatever it is, whereas now we're seeing it almost every year or every 3 years. If we look at even like some of the buildings that are being constructed, right, the standards or the approaches of some of the architectural firms may have taken was based on certain events happening once every 100 years or once every 500 years. But if all of a sudden they're happening every 3 years, the building's ability to handle that is very challenged, right? I mean, even something as simple as if you think about hailstorms, right? The size of the pebbles are getting bigger and bigger. And that alone, many of the outside infrastructure of buildings were not designed to handle this, right? So these are a lot of things that our customers are starting to think about. For example, where you locate buildings, so forth, right? You could imagine, for example, let's say food manufacturer, right? If they have a critical plant that supplies their whole network, if all of a sudden, let's say in the next 5 years, we expect extreme heat in that location to go up dramatically, which you do see in pockets around the world, then you really have to ask yourself some questions, because food production, key component is water. And obviously when there's a lot of heat, water availability is down. And now it's not just down for you, but probably everyone else that uses that water supply. And all of a sudden, people are less willing to share that. And at that point, you have to ask yourself, do I even want to have this plan here, or do I have to make a decision to relocate this asset somewhere else in the country or the world or whatever it may be, right? So these are all things that we don't necessarily think about, but it's super cool to see that you've gone through it. You're very familiar with these topics, and clearly you're building a fairly resilient company.
I appreciate it. It's hard work and you can't anticipate everything, but when you start to see the smoke, there's usually some fire somewhere. And, and honestly, as other business leaders are sort of trying to address this, I mean, the only kind of key advice I would be giving is just don't underestimate how severe things can get and sort of imagine the worst. And to the extent that you can afford to plan for it, really does pay off.
Certainly. And it feels like we sometimes think things are remote, so we kind of just put it back and almost hope it doesn't happen. When it does, I mean, there's obviously the immediate challenge to you, but the knock-on consequences I find are quite dramatic, right? So potentially reputation damage with customers, but also if a competitor is smarter than you, then they will pounce on that opportunity, right? So we all know business is a very, very competitive environment. So very smart to be on top of it. I'm curious. So Adam, you obviously have a board of directors, right? Given your background, you've dealt in the finance world as well. I'm curious, what do you think some of the questions that investors should be thinking about as they look into their own portfolios or just new investments as a whole?
No, that's a really great question. I mean, I think the board that we have is a very close-knit board. We've been together for over 20 years as a team. And so we as a board of directors representing the investment base that we've got, you know, the main question that anybody would wonder about as it relates to how the board is handling, you know, evaluating risk management, especially around extreme weather, is redundancy and sort of, you know, contingency planning. And you know, if the board of directors and the executive team who are reporting out a couple of times a year with, you know, kind of update letters are not talking about contingency planning for an operational based business, something along the lines of what we do, those would be really great questions to start asking.
And I, you know, I feel like with, you know, extreme weather, we often think is natural, right? Because it's so complex and we're still wrapping our head around it. We often just think of our own business, but really it's far more complex and it's evolving. And if we think about our supply chains, for example, right, leaders really need to start understanding and mitigate, you know, disruption across key locations, transfer out, all this stuff. And likewise for boards and investors as a whole, I would imagine.
Yeah, and it takes different forms, you know, like whether it's a COVID event or the tariff situation, you know, the global supply chain, you know, which seems so reliable can immediately, like almost in a minute, just be disrupted. And, you know, the other major aspect of risk management at the board level is always just sort of, okay, what contingencies do you have for your, you know, your most important, you know, key assets that are, you know, that you need? Like, can you get your, in my world, can you get your cameras and your batteries and your housing? Are they readily accessible in a global supply chain shock? Do you have enough on hand? Does your supplier have enough in the U.S.? I remember during the COVID situation, there was a ship that had these batteries that we wanted, and they were like kind of right on the shore. They didn't get to shore for 2 months. And we were okay. Like we made it through. We had some spare inventory, but we kind of sweat it. COVID wasn't an extreme weather event. It's those things could be very easily be extreme weather related in some cases.
Right. We could study those to understand potential knock-on consequences. So it wouldn't necessarily be the trigger itself, but you know, what could that lead to? So obviously COVID led to lots of supply chain challenges, right? Highlight there. I'm curious, when you and your C-suite leaders, or you know, when you sit down with the board and think about your 3, 5-year, 10-year plans, how do you guys take into account extreme weather in addition to some of the redundancy components you mentioned? How do you guys tackle that topic?
We're like at a good turning point, and this is a great example. So we're making this big decision to migrate all of the third-party centers that we've been using to this one center in Hyderabad, which, because it's on the third and fourth floor, it sounds pretty good. But within short order, we're going to want to have another center that will open up probably within a year, 18 months. So we have some redundancy there. And, you know, if that's a real-world example. And the thing is you can't afford to do every single thing that on a whiteboard seems like the, you know, the things that you could do perfectly to mitigate risk. So there's a lot of risk taking that goes on as you make big decisions. You gauge that risk and you make, you know, you basically make business decisions based on those risk analysis.
I guess the key there is really to be informed, right? Obviously, not everyone's an expert, but to be informed to the extent you can, know that, for example, hey, these things happen actually every day now. It's not a, you know, 1 in 100 year event, whatever it may be, but you know, what can we do right now? Well, look, Adam, I really enjoyed this conversation. If we were to wrap this up, right, what would be, there's one thing you would want every CEO out there to really keep in mind when they think about extreme weather from your learnings and kind of how you see it going forward as it applies to your business and the broader economy? What would you think, hey, there's one thing you guys have to remember?
It's sort of repeating something I said a little bit earlier, which is just to be very respectful of how severe things can get. Extreme weather, as we've been discussing in this podcast, it's happening kind of every week, every month. There's some kind of an extreme weather event somewhere. Just don't underestimate that it could come to your doorstep. And, you know, take the time, be thoughtful, pragmatically plan, and financially budget for ways in which you could mitigate those risks. But any kind of an approach, which is it could never happen to me, would be an approach that would be more concerning. And just hoping things don't, you know, go wrong is eventually it does. And I don't know of too many places left in the world that are completely free of extreme weather risk factors anymore. And it's just, it's very challenging to say, I could just do it here, I could just do it there. And that's why redundancy and contingency is really the best approach.
Well said. And, you know, maybe to wrap this up, I like to think that imagery is what helps instill messages the best. So if we go back to kind of what we said earlier on, right, it's only when the tide goes out do we find out who's been without trunks. So understanding that it's today, understanding the severity of it, the, you know, how dramatic it can be prepared is really the best way for any leader to move forward in this world. And you could turn that challenge into an advantage, right? A competitive advantage by allocating capital smartly. So when everyone else is down, you're thriving, right? So Adam, thank you for joining us today. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed it as well.
And thank you for listening. If you like the show, leave a comment or review wherever you get your favorite podcast. Or drop us a note at media@zurichna.com. Stay tuned for our next episode. We'll have a deep discussion with Alex Mirsky, head of extreme weather and climate for Zurich Resilient Solutions, and Dan Zarilli, the former chief resilience officer of New York City, about the risks municipalities face due to extreme weather. This has been Feature Risk, presented by Zurich North America.
The information in this audio recording was compiled from sources believed to be reliable for general information purposes and is intended for Zurich clients and business partners. The information contained here may be useful to you or your enterprise when developing your own policies and procedures. The policies and procedures applicable to your enterprise should take into account the specific circumstances of your business and business environment, which is beyond the capacity of this podcast. Any and all information provided is not intended to constitute advice of any nature and is specifically not legal advice, and accordingly, you should consult with your own legal counsel. We do not guarantee the accuracy of this information presented or any results and further assume no liability in connection with this recording and the information provided therein. Moreover, Zurich reminds you that the information provided cannot be assumed to contain every acceptable safety and compliance procedure or that additional procedures might not be appropriate under the circumstances. The subject matter of this recording is not tied to any specific insurance product, nor will adopting these policies and procedures ensure coverage under any insurance policy. We encourage listeners to seek additional information from credible sources. Thank you.